Welcome to Career Tours. This week, Career Goodwill.
Part 1.
The questions this cast answers are, what is Career Goodwill? What use is Career Goodwill to me? And how can I use Career Goodwill?
If you're located in the Pacific Northwest and are looking for an event to attend, we've got the perfect opportunity for you to do so. May 7th and 8th, we'll be holding our annual Portland Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conferences, and we'll take up to 35 folks at each. There's still plenty of room to attend, so register today at manager-tools.com/training to guarantee yourself a seat at this coming event.
Company goodwill is so important that it goes on a company balance sheet. If you look at a balance sheet, it's only one page. It's quite short. And there isn't a lot on it about the different assets that a company has. But one of the assets that's important enough to go on there is goodwill. And it's part of the value of a company. If you buy a company, one of the things that your accountants or your advisors will calculate is the goodwill and how much that is worth so that you make a decent proposal of how much you're going to buy the company for. But individuals also have goodwill. And so if it's important enough for it to be on the company balance sheet and you have it too, it's important enough to know what it is and how you can use it.
We're going to talk about what is goodwill, the fact that you lose goodwill when you move jobs, and how to build goodwill as well.
So what is goodwill? In his 1983 Berkshire Hathaway shareholders letter, Warren Buffett talked about the purchase price of a company called See's Candies and how much goodwill they had and how that contributed to the purchase price. Warren Buffett's letters are really good. You don't have to be a shareholder. You can just Google Warren Buffett's letters. And actually, Mark mentioned one a couple of weeks ago in his email, Things I Think, that goes out to licensees every week. So anyway, in 1983, he talked about this company, See's Candies, and they had a consistent $2 million a year profit. So every year they were making $2 million net profit, so after all their expenses. But they only had tangible assets of $8 million. So in other words, they had $8 million of worth of things that they could value, like things like factories and plant equipment, stuff like that, that they were using to make the candies, but they were making $2 million a year off it, which is a quarter. Two is a quarter of eight. And so a return of 25% on your equipment is huge. And no way, and no other company was getting that kind of return in the market. And so it's goodwill that accounts for the difference. So what Warren Buffett said was, businesses, logically, are worth far more than the net tangible assets when they can be expected to produce earnings on such assets, considerably in excess of market rates of return. The capitalized value of this excess return is economic goodwill. In other words, if a company is legitimately making more profit than its size would suggest, the difference is accounted for as goodwill.
It's an interesting idea, right? And it also means something for each of us individually, right? On your first day of work, you can get some things done by virtue of your role and what the company structure says you're entitled to. You might be able to book a business class flight because your new role entitles you to do that. That's the equivalent of the tangible assets, right? That's an actual thing that you can do. And if another person came into your role, they'd be able to achieve the same thing because it's associated with the role and they have that same role. So those are the tangible assets associated with your role. After you've been in a company for a while, you start to be able to get things done or get certain privileges because of the goodwill that you've built up with others. And you can get outsized returns that your role alone doesn't account for. So you can actually get things done that exist outside your role that maybe another person wouldn't be able to get done. That's goodwill. For example, if the person who books travel has a free upgrade that they could use on anyone's flight, maybe you did that person a favor and she gives you the upgrade. So you get business class, not because you're entitled to it by virtue of your role, but because of the goodwill you've built up with that person. Goodwill works as much on work processes as it does on benefits like travel, which is exciting.
Yes, this is an opportunity to get stuff you shouldn't be able to get.
Yeah.
All the Heidis are now excited about this topic.
Yeah. Things like knowing who to go to in HR to get expedited hiring approval, those are a reflection of your goodwill. Knowing who in the corporate print shop can help you get a rush order on a set of decks or slides or something, that's goodwill. Maybe you have a friend, a mate in planning who tells you whether or not your plan to go after a new business makes sense or fits in with next year's corporate thrust. Building those relationships really helps with goodwill. And in the same way, if you were to build a relationship as an honest manager or executive, such that somebody reaches out to you for guidance on what's happening in your area, that would be great because now they owe you a favor. And so it's this trading of favors, which we've talked about before. It's this trading of favors that's the manifestation, I guess, of the goodwill. And maybe someone you've treated well at another job tells their boss that if they need somebody, you know, on a high visibility, cross-functional, special project, you're the person they should ask for. None of this is formal. None of it's formally approved. None of it's through official channels or processes. It's still incredibly valuable, though. This is kind of the ways that relationships get traded on.
If you wanted to try and put a number to your relationships, a value on it, then goodwill is kind of that value. And remember that our guidance is that organizational politics is nothing more than relationship effects, right? When you look at other people and you think they're political or what they're doing is political, then actually what they're doing is trading favors on relationships. And it happens at all levels of the organization. It's not just senior leaders. It can be people who are individual contributors at the bottom. People tell us everything. We often hear about maybe a call center where everybody is kind of the lowest of the low, despite the fact that they're the people that talk to the customers. And yet, you know, one team is doing really well. And part of that is because their team are willing to swap days with each other. And so it means that there's less sick time. That's a kind of trading favors amongst people who you wouldn't necessarily think of as being political, but is useful to the individuals and the company. And work is personal, right? It's not just about getting your job done. It's not just about the results. We always say it's results and relationships because you can get really good results and be obnoxious and not get anywhere. Like your results don't take you forever if you're being obnoxious. In fact, the very first Manager Tools cast is about that. It's about being technical and not valuing relationships and having your career stalled because of that. So work is personal. It happens between individuals. Those relationships matter, and that's goodwill. Goodwill is the thing that allows you to get things done out of process or via an alternative channel that nobody else can get to.
It kind of bends the rules for you when those same rules wouldn't bend the same way for someone else. It's a personal set of things that is happening, but it's also a personal thing that you have going on, that your ability to get those things done within the correct parameters, but kind of outside the rules, is part of your goodwill. And sometimes goodwill gets things done faster than is usual. Maybe goodwill gets you an agreement from someone, even when they're not actually fully committed to your idea, they're not totally sure. These are just the ways that goodwill works. And the manifestations of it you can really see are almost things you tend not to think about. For me, a lot of those things, I use goodwill or I don't even think about it as being that. And now if you think about it, you think, oh, right. Like if you have a work friend who tells you in advance that the meeting's going to get canceled, right? They text you, hey, don't worry about this meeting. It's going to get canceled or something like that. Or you get like a little bit of extra information. We tend sometimes not even to think about that stuff. It's just stuff that happens.
Right. It's the small things that irritate us at work, but it's the small things that matter as well. It is a text or an instant message or an email that says, hey, heads up, this person's in a really bad mood today. Or heads up, I heard there's something wrong with the delivery to this customer or whatever. So you just look around your company. There is someone to whom everything comes easily. There's someone who gets everything they want. You can't quite work out why. That's because this person has a ton of goodwill, and that reduces the friction in the company. It allows them to move more easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Communication diversity. In the workplace, it needs to be acknowledged and respected. You could have four directs or project leads delivering exactly the same message, and each would do it differently. One or possibly two may resonate very well with you. The others, even though they're saying the same thing, might drive you nuts because they don't communicate in the same way as you do. Learn about the four communication styles and how to tailor yours so that all of your exchanges net the best possible outcome. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com to learn how Manager Tools can bring the effective communicator training directly to you.
You know, it's funny. I think about the friction of getting things done. And now we're going to talk about removing the static friction from your position, right? We're going to talk about how to build goodwill, which, like most things in our careers, comes down to results and relationships, the two most important things. And of course, one of the important things about building goodwill is to get results.
Yeah, you cannot be useless, but be friends with everybody.
I mean, you can, you just can't work there forever.
You won't last very long. Yeah, you can't be useless and friends with everyone, and you can't be getting results and be obnoxious and expect to be successful. You have to do both.
Right. So getting results it's fundamental. You don't buy into the purely political and selfish idea that relationship effects can take the place of results. They cannot. They can only enhance them. And it's basically like, if you don't have a cake, you don't need icing.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So don't get the icing out. Don't even look for it if you don't have a cake. You can only use relationship effects to enhance your results. Results are what the company pays you for. Mm-hmm. They're the ultimate coin of the realm. I mean, that's it. You got to start there. You can have great relationships and bad results for a while, but not for very long, honestly. It won't go very far. And so we have to keep in mind that the better your results, the more goodwill you'll have. And of course, then the more goodwill you have, the more outsized your results can become. It's like a virtuous circle, which is exciting.
It is. It's a really easy way to do this. It may be easier to understand how that works if we give a negative example, because negatives are sometimes easier to understand. So think of someone you know, not you, obviously, because you're awesome, whoever's listening to this, but someone you know who isn't getting results, someone who might even be on a performance plan or whatever your company calls that when they are trying to prove that someone is so useless they can be fired. And what happens is when people are put on performance plans is they are really closely monitored. They're put on a short leash, as it were. Their manager will be looking at everything they do, everything they say, every chance they have to show attitude, which we don't like because it's not a behavior, but managers will be looking, did this person roll their eyes in the meeting? Did they say it sound sarcastic? Did they go out of their way to help someone or hinder them? People who are on these performance plans are really closely monitored so that the company doesn't suffer if they fail again. I mean, if you've been put on a performance plan, the company is saying you are failing to get the results that we're paying you for. And so they don't want that to go too long, because why should they pay you for results you're not getting? And so they keep a really close eye on them. That person doesn't get to come in 10 minutes late and leave 10 minutes early, because the manager, one, will see that as the employee isn't making a commitment to getting better, isn't making a commitment to be at the company. Be there. And, you know, that's the first thing you have to do, is be in the building.
Yeah.
And if they're not doing that, then it kind of suggests they're not going to succeed in any of the other realms that the company wants them to succeed. And they have virtually no goodwill. Goodwill, in one sense, is a longer leash. Goodwill is what allows you to work independently and say, you know, I'm just going to get on with my work and I've got an idea and I'm going to go down this route and, oh, it didn't work, but my boss doesn't yell at me because I'm getting everything else done. If somebody is on a performance plan, they don't get to go off-road. And maybe they do have a little bit of goodwill, but it's really just their friends. And it's probably not based on the work that they do. It's probably based on a prior relationship. But, you know, the best guy on the team, he can come in 10 minutes late and leave 10 minutes early because the manager doesn't even notice, probably. Because when the manager thinks of that guy, they just think of the results they're getting, right? It's really easy to see in sales. So if you imagine someone on a performance plan in sales, like the manager is monitoring how many calls they made, how many visits they booked, how much they sold. And, you know, they in sales, they often put it up in a board, right? A board on the wall.
Right, like a dashboard.
Yeah, the best guy is just making his sales number. So the manager doesn't worry about how many calls and how many visits he's making. He's like, he's making his number. If the manager doesn't see the great guy, he looks at his desk and it's empty. He just thinks of the number on the board and is like, well, number's higher than the target. Not worried about where he is. Whereas, you know, the guy who hasn't made enough calls today and isn't going to meet his sales target, it's like, why isn't he sitting at his desk making calls?
Right. We know he has to hit his number. He's not hitting his number. Where is he when he should be working on hitting his number?
Exactly. That's goodwill. The guy who's getting results has more goodwill. That's why it's important for you to have.
I think part of it is, too, that higher results garner more trust.
Yes.
And trust is a form of goodwill, or goodwill contributes, right? So I'm not sure. Are they the same thing? Not exactly the same thing, but they're close. One stems from the other.
Right. And again, trust, the more your manager trusts you, the more leeway you get. You know, the more you can go after something that may or may not work out, or you can try your idea. Sometimes people want to work from home. And it's interesting, it's always the most successful people that are allowed to work from home for the same reason, right? The manager's like, I can't let the bad guys, the guys that aren't succeeding, out of my sight. But the good guy, yeah, I'm sure he'll be fine working from home. And it's got nothing to do with actually whether or not that person would be successful working from home.
Right.
Which takes a whole different skill set to being successful working in an office. But it's, again, it's goodwill. So if you want something like working from home, or you want something like some flexibility in the way you work, or the flexibility to go after ideas that you want to explore, if you want the flexibility to work with another team on a project, anything you want that's not in your job description, the more goodwill you have, the more that you've built up, the easier it's going to be for you to convince someone else that you should have those things.
Absolutely.
So we covered results.
Yeah.
Which is really important. So we will leave everybody here to get results in the next week, and then we'll come back next week with the rest of what they need to do.